like sands through the hourglass. These are the bands of your life.
It's 8:56 on the ticket on a Tuesday morning, and that means Bands of Your Life, where we have super special guest stars on to answer our musical questionnaire. It's become a fan favorite. I really look forward to this. Thanks to Kid for joining us last week. That was a lot of fun. And many people have been asking for today's super special guest star to join us, and we have finally made it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. You hear him 3 to 7 on the hard line here on the ticket. Bob Sturm.
What? This is non-disclosure, non-disclosure.
Alligator Gar Bob. All right.
Hey, musers.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
How's the connection here from my bunker?
Sounds great.
Outstanding. Oh, good. Good.
Yes, thank you for doing this.
It's a pleasure to be on your show. Not one person asked about my musical opinions because I am what they call pretty basic on this front, but this questionnaire, it made me dig deep, and hopefully I have a few compelling answers for you guys.
All right.
You know, when I was recruiting Bob to do this segment, and I had to go through his people, he's very difficult to reach.
Oh, yeah.
Bob expressed some concern because, like me, he's never been a massive music fan. Bob, I think I put you and I in the same category compared to George, Gordon, Corby.
Yes.
Guys like that who are way more into music. You and I have been way more into really stupid, nerdy sports stuff all of our lives.
Right.
And music has just been on the periphery. But 100%. as I told you, if I was able to get through it, I know you can get through it.
Well, that inspiration will drive me on today when things get tough. But right now, high energy, ready to roll.
But look how you've been inspired by music, Bob. The music of U2.
Oh, yeah.
The Badger, Badger, Badger song.
That did not make my list. Neither did Striper, Grant Boone. I just wanted to tell you ahead of time, Striper did not make this list. But, yeah, I would say I'm really into music, but I'm not the type to know backstories, secret barroom alliances to get this band together. You guys are absurd encyclopedias. I just kind of listen to what comes through the speaker, and if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I just move quickly on. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm kind of like that too. All right, let's start Bands of Your Life with Bob Sturm. And of course, the first one is always difficult. Some people answer it pretty quickly. Band that you hate.
Okay, this one is not that hard for me. Of all the ones on this, it was pretty easy, and it probably comes from 15 years or so of doing the Dallas Stars postgame show in the old number 7 club.
Whoa. Oh, look out now.
Oh, no.
There's an inside pitch at the Great Gordo.
Let's let him answer. Because the music may not match his answer.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Tony Romo. This has nothing to do with the final scene of The Sopranos. This has to do with about 11 o'clock at the American Airlines Center for every weeknight, where all the moms realize it's time to leave, and they crank this up almost by routine, and it sends anyone between the ages of 45 and 60 into a alcohol, you know, aided frenzy of one last song before we have to go back to our dumb families and lives. And I just see the reaction it has on white people and just suburbia, and it's just not my cup of tea. So I think that song's been ruined for me, and in some relation that band as well.
So Journey. Is your answer.
Yeah, and they have a lot of cornball love songs in there as well, but this is the one that really gets me, is Don't Stop Believing. But let's not forget, like, Open Arms, which is just a kick in the groin, and Faithfully, and I'm not even sure Any Way You Want It is my cup of tea at all. But
whoa. That is a great tune.
You know, I'm with you on Open Arms and Faithfully, but I love most of Journey, and I love, what's the name of the first song?
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. I love that song.
A lot of people do.
One of the greatest rock voices of all time, one of the greatest drummers of all time, one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
I just think their general view of let's make sure we capture the female audience, I think that was lost on me. Okay. But they love it. They love it.
Yeah. See, Bob, you never probably slow dance to Open Arms. That's why those 45 to 60 lose their mind when it comes on. And
but that was the age where it was the quickest of punch outs when they would start playing Open Arms. So I did learn like the old hardline 3-second punch out to that.
Hey, at Liberty, when you would slow dance, did they make sure you could see daylight between the two?
Yes, absolutely. Because
did they have the Falwell Jr. unbutton your pants rule?
Okay, listen, leave Bob alone on that.
That's
one.
Not on me. He was not at my school when I was there. I am not taking responsibility for him.
All right, Bob is delivering so far. That's a rollicking start with Band That He Hates, Journey. All right, Bob, Band you think is overrated?
Okay, this one, I just a little latitude. Whoever was with me on the first one is going to now hate me because this band has been, I've been told that Radiohead is a influential top of the world band for like the last 25 years. I've tried it. I absolutely love Creep and Pablo Honey and how they started. There's certainly some stuff on OK Computer I'm okay with. But in general, Radiohead, I don't think I get it. I guess I'm not smart enough to fully understand why Radiohead has dominated the world. Let's mix in a hook at some point.
Gosh.
This one's great.
Yeah, this one has some hooks in it.
Yeah, but they went away from it is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You are on to something in that they have a lot of songs that just kind of wander.
I just, people talk about them as
they're awesome,
the best ever, and I've tried over and over again, and I just walk away saying, I guess I just don't get it. This song is great, though, so probably to tell you why they're overrated, I shouldn't play the most awesome song they have, but
yeah, play one that just wanders into the abyss.
There's a lot, but
yeah,
I don't get Radiohead. I like they're fine, but the way they're touted suggests to me
overrated.
Hmm.
Fair enough.
Another hot take from Bob.
Yeah,
next he's gonna bag on Jesus. Go ahead, Bob.
I don't think so. I don't see him anywhere on my list, to be honest.
All right, Band you think is underappreciated?
Okay, this one's easy. When I came to Texas, for some reason, I did not know anything about the Toadies. And they had a quick run. Let's be honest. Not a huge body of work. But Rubberneck, in particular, it has had more spins on Bob Sturm-type stereo equipment than just about any other band. I really love this whole album. And this is Tyler. Possum Kingdom is great. I Burn is great. I mean, that's a great album. And the fact that they were from the Metroplex kind of got me feeling North Texas-y back in the late 90s. And I hate that as a group, they didn't last. I mean, obviously, they still play a portion of them, but you know what I'm saying.
And they, did you hear their album a couple years ago?
Yes.
Like, 2017, what'd you think of that?
Well, you know, it doesn't have the same connection to me that Rubberneck did, but yeah, I still yeah. Enjoy when they get together, what's left of them, but I really, this one really got me. So mid-90s to late 90s, I was all about the Toadies.
What do you mean, what's left of them? Has somebody died? Weren't there only
people in the band? Lisa, the bass player Lisa left the band very early. And again, now you're going to ask me specific band history questions, and I don't know hardly anything, but I do know Lisa Umberger, I think?
Yeah.
Hasn't been in the band in a long, long time, and she, I believe, was part of this album. But then again, I may be completely wrong.
All right. Toadies, band that he thinks is underappreciated, and now Bob Sturm, band that you love.
Okay. Late 80s, Bob's sort of trying to figure life out a little bit, and one of my buddies handed me It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Public Enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we'll get you into this with a little He Got Game.
60s hook.
Yeah, they obviously used some sampling here, but Chuck D and Flava Flav and the S1Ws, they certainly had an effect on young Christian school Bob, that there might be a whole world out there that you're not being completely told about.
Plus, that was the time you still thought you might go to the league?
Yes, absolutely. As my road to the NBA included a ton of Public Enemy in high school and early college. Because they were... So rap was blowing up, but these guys were interested in actual meaningful things. Now, certainly their lyrics can be made fun of as well. But they weren't talking about girls and money and cars. They were talking about, you know, their social changes. They were 30 years ahead of this, right?
Yeah.
Love Public Enemy.
I knew they'd be on the list somewhere. I've heard you talk about them so much over the years, so I knew they'd make it somewhere. We're in the middle of Bands of Your Life. Our special super guest star this week is Bob Sturm from Hardline.
Hello.
Hello, Bob. Thank you again for doing this.
So honored. And really honored you picked me before Dan. That was important because I don't have much musically, but if you would have asked Dan to be on this before me, I would have been hurt because he has even less. And let's remember that for
and you
all
guys
of our
are
time
very
together.
Competitive. So
oh, yeah. Very competitive.
All right, we left off with band that you can listen to over and over again.
This would be the greatness that is Depeche Mode. And specifically, mid-80s to early 90s Depeche Mode, where we got Music for the Masses, Black Celebration, Violator, and of course my favorite live album, maybe of any band of any time, 101 Live from Pasadena.
Depeche Mode also on
Davey's list.
Davey's list, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We liked them.
They weren't on your list, Gordo, were they?
They were not. No.
What's that? Gordon, you weren't into this?
No, I wasn't. Now, I went out with a girl who loved Depeche Mode. Good Lord. So that kind of killed me on it.
This was a dorm room. I don't know. You open the windows and you're reading, and this is the album that played a million times.
I can't read and listen to music at the same time.
I can't either. It's hard for me to do, too.
Bob is such an expert at constantly multitasking that I can see that you could do that pretty easily.
Expert. You got to be efficient. You got to pick the right genre, Junior. You can't have too busy of music to blog to, for instance. But and then the music of morning golf is the Musers.
Ah, that a boy.
That'll make you hit it way right or way left, right?
How's your game, Bob? I miss playing August golf with you.
I play a lot more often, but it's exactly where we left it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, band that made you fall in love with music.
Okay, so I kind of wanted you to over-explain this question to me, but since I didn't want to bother the Musers on their free time at their mansions, I did just decide that it must mean... like the first band that you realized was a band and you kind of liked. And that, to me, was the Four Tops when I was like 8 years old at my house.
How funny.
My parents were so into Motown that I think that's the only type of music that sort of passed their moral judgment at the time, because the Beatles started doing acid or whatever they were doing that made my parents turn on the Beatles. And... But they loved the Four Tops, and you know what? So did I.
Yeah, I love Motown.
And I didn't really know what I was listening to, and I didn't know it wasn't current. But I did know that when I got, say, at the house on What We Roll, this was my go-to for many, many years.
Motown, great music. Yes. I don't know about the production value.
I know it, but I
can't stand reverb. And when you load up a recording with reverb, I think it loses its guts, or the guts that it could have.
You got this. You got Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. You got Reach Out, I'll Be There. You know? It's just it's good. There's a lot of earworm potential with the Four Tops. So they were probably the first band that I understood was a band, you know?
Yeah.
This is the first music that made you tap your foot, clap your hands, like Navin Johnson when he discovers music.
Like, it was all noise, Junior. And then I would be like, what is this? I love this. What, play it again, you know? And they tell me to shut up and do my homework and go to my room, you know?
Great.
All right. Band that changed your life, Bob.
Well, this one predates The Ticket by many, many, many years, but I knew I liked you guys when I saw how you two kind of ran this this little Ticket world, at least in certain day parts. And the first CD I bought was Joshua Tree, but you know, the albums before it, the albums after it, and then when they went away for a while to dream it up all over again and came back with Octone Baby, and man, I don't know if I could say it's the soundtrack of my life, but I loved how you said that, and there's no band that I would go to bat for more than Bono and the Boys.
Atta boy.
They really were meaningful to me early, and I kind of felt like they were a different genre version of Public Enemy back then, and that sort of stuff resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear a couple weeks ago when we played the group Inhaler?
I did not.
Bono's son.
He sounds just like him.
Yeah, I think you need to listen to him. I think you'd like him.
Okay. Yeah. So how did Bono's son have some connections in the business and get a big break?
Yeah, he's dealing with that, being Bono's son, but their music's really good, though.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what he goes by the way. Bono's son. He doesn't really have a name.
I knew you two would be on your list as well.
Yeah.
It changed your life.
I feel like I could have put them down for several of these answers because they're definitely a great band to see live as well.
How many times have you seen them?
Seven? They were the first concert I ever went to. In fact, check this out. 1992, first concert I ever went to, and to beat the Liberty University bed check, we had to make up. We were at an Orioles game, which we definitely were not, but me and my roommate drove to Columbia, South Carolina, to the Gamecocks football stadium, Williams and Bryce, and saw Public Enemy opening for U2.
Wow.
1992.
How cool.
About that? Yeah.
So wait a minute. Y'all had nightly bed check?
At midnight, we had to be in our rooms.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, listen, it wasn't the normal college experience, but it was
Did Bono's son get the overwrought gene as well?
Here
it is.
Do.
This is where Gordo
Q,
pretends
Gordo,
not to like
you too. Contrarian.
It's one of his all-time favorite bands, but he's got to play anti-U2 guy.
Did he learn from his dad every birthday when dad would start singing?
That's called emotion. Something you ought to look into.
To you.
That's called feeling. It's called feeling music. Something else.
He doesn't need to
into.
Feel happy birthday.
Yes, he does.
Could you imagine the concert at like Sun Devil Stadium, which they used in Rattle and Hum so much? His hair was probably the one thing in the world I wanted more than anything. It's just the ability
great hair.
To like, if you bend over forward, the hair just covers your face, and then you can just take one hand and just sort of smooth it all back perfectly like Bono did, and holy cow.
Man crush.
So cool.
Yeah.
All right, Bob, band that surprised you.
I didn't know where I would fit Outkast in this because I had only heard a couple of their radio songs. But the more I dove into Outkast, I really dug it. And this has been, it's been a while since I was really into it, but the stuff they did from also the mid-90s to the early aughts, like three or four albums in a row there, ending with the one that went huge, the Speaker Box, the Love Below double album. Outkast is really great.
Yeah.
Didn't Andre 3000 have a baby with Erykah Badu, Dallas's own?
I believe so.
Probably, but now you're asking me about the
probably.
Band
probably.
I don't have any idea.
Probably.
My research on the band is typing in Outkast on Spotify now and just roll with it, right?
Are we good on lyrics here?
Yes. I don't know about that, but he has a son with Erykah Badu named Seven Serious Benjamin.
Oh. So do I.
Did you name one of your sons Seven Serious?
No, but I do have an album called Stankonia. Just like he does.
You like, I like the way you move.
That's greatness.
That we turned
Absolutely.
Into. Norm gets his. What was it?
What?
Norm gets his picks from Groobs. What was it? Norm gets his picks from Groobs. Something like that.
That's awesome.
All right, this is my favorite category. Always curious to see what this answer will be or answers. Guilty pleasure.
And I don't know if this qualifies as a guilty pleasure, but it is the only one on my list that my 14-year-old daughter got me into. And that's the greatness of Lord.
Ah, was this yours, Gordo?
No.
I heard you talking about Lord the other day.
I think
she sings
awesome.
Royals. Doesn't she?
That song's a beatdown.
Why is that song a beatdown? Never been
Everybody sounds like Edith Bunker when they try to sing.
I'm telling you, that album, though, is so great.
Is it?
I think that's her first one. And then this is on the follow-up. This is on, I think, Melodrama, but Pure Heroine is her first one, I think. And that's great. And then this one is pretty great, too. This has Green Light and Liability. And I think The Louvre is on this one, too. She's great.
You got to play Royals, Jer. Come on.
No, don't play it, Jer.
Come on.
Don't do it, Jer.
Because then it'll get Gordo with that the earworm, and we'll hear it the rest of the week. Bob's request. He requested this one, so we'll play this.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Jer.
Although Gordon's going to sing it anyway, so...
And it's funny because
for every time Ribby is singing that song around the show.
It's also funny because when I say I'm in the Lord, the hardline thought I was saying I'm into the Lord, and it really caused for real confusing statements and conclusions. And you know what? I think Billie Eilish sort of stole her bit, but I think Billie Eilish is pretty great, too.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think they're very similar.
By the way, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome a new sponsor for Bands of Your Life.
All right.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
They just came on board.
They just came on board because Bob's doing such a great job.
Breaking.
Oh, wow.
Let us thank and recognize Globe Life Direct for all of your insurance needs. It's Globe Life Direct. Thank you to Globe Life Direct.
Yes.
More copy points coming soon. A new sponsor for Bands of Your Life.
Didn't Lord have a son with Erykah Badu, too?
No, I don't think that's true.
Oh.
All right, next up, Bob. Band you should have seen live by now.
I have no idea why I haven't seen Pearl Jam live, but I always thought I'd like to. And then a couple years ago, they released a live album, although finding live Pearl Jam is not that hard, but I don't believe they had any official release until the double album concert at Wrigley in 2017. And I got all excited when I discovered it, and I asked Corby if he knew about it, and of course, he was there at Wrigley when Pearl Jam played.
Backstage, probably.
I think so.
Because he had a friend who was the guitar tech or something.
Right.
Someone he went to TCU with.
You're right.
I saw Pearl Jam at Starplex once. Like off that first album, I think.
I've really always liked them, but it seems to me they never show up in the Metroplex, or when they do, there's some sporting thing I have to be at, but I think they got tired of
Dennis Rodman ruining every show they did in Dallas.
Well, I've heard that story, and I'm not sure if that would have ruined it for me. I probably would have thought that was pretty wild.
Really?
But they couldn't get him to leave the stage.
Yeah.
Really?
The concrete.
Really? Hell, Mal.
There's Rodman with him.
I always think they had burn face, too.
Really, guy? Come
Eddie on. Eddie Vedder, when he would sing and get that pointy top lip.
I think these guys would be pretty good live.
No offense.
All right. And finally.
Yes, sir.
Best band to see live.
Okay. There's many candidates here. And I didn't feel like going to war with you guys about how secretly good Coldplay actually is live.
I've seen them live, and they are good.
U2's pretty amazing live. Good. Thank you. I feel like you're giving a little ground on Coldplay after all these years. I'm happy to hear that, Junior.
I think that's me that always dogs Coldplay.
Yeah. I kind of like them. I sat two seats down from Steve Nash at that Coldplay concert.
Oh, really? Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, hey, Junior. You're
but I would say the best music. Band I've ever seen live might be The Killers.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
They played the Toyota Music Factory a couple years ago, and it was incredible.
Yeah, they've gotten so better live.
Jason Kelson was the original lead singer.
Can you imagine how bad that would be?
Hey there, P1s. Killer again. Yep.
The least dynamic lead singer in rock history.
But he dresses the same as Brandon Flowers.
Oh, my
flamboyant.
Oh, God.
So has the beard.
Then they came to the Bomb Factory like 5 months later to play.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to be at the Musers compound.
That's right.
And so I couldn't go, but my wife went with another ticket wife, if I'm not mistaken. And they were literally 5 feet from Brandon Flowers for like all 2.5 hours. And it was great.
Did he pick them really out of the crowd? Awesome. Invite them back like Van Halen used to do.
Kind of weird. I can't decide, and you guys probably know this better than I do, like when it comes to why do they play such small venues, certainly the haters will say because they can't sell out the big ones, but I'm almost convinced with the Killers that they elect to not play massive, but I don't have any idea. It's probably me being dumb, right?
Well, you know, I've seen them at like from Hyde Park, and there's probably, I don't know, 100,000 people there. And by the way, have you ever watched The Killers live from Royal Albert Hall?
Yeah, it's horrible.
I don't think
that
so.
That is maybe the best musical DVD I've ever seen.
Okay.
Yeah. Highly
They're
recommend.
Great. You know what got me into The Killers, though? Hmm. George at Ticket Stock.
Oh, when I played with my son. Yeah.
Doing when we were young.
Yeah.
That really... Like, we all knew, like, Mr. Brightside, but I didn't know that song. And between when we were young...
All these things I've done. All these things
Oh, yeah,
I've
I'm
done.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. All the things we've done. Somebody Told Me, Read My Mind is unbelievable. They have so many great songs. There's so much more than Mr. Brightside. But I think Scotty once sang on the Crow Line the words to Mr. Brightside, and that was pretty great, too.
I'll sing some Mr. Brightside for you.
Wonder if that's in the end go. That'd be amazing.
You should get played at Stars games. Groups would crank that up at Stars games.
I love the Killers. I can't wait to see them again. And Bob, I love Killer.
You did not disappoint. He did not disappoint, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you sure?
He did not disappoint.
He did not disappoint.
Good.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
How'd you go, dear Bob?
So honored.
This is Nina Pham.
Oh, it's Nina Pham.
Oh, hang on, Bob. I just want to say that Bob disappointed me.
Oh,
Nina.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He disappointed me and my dog, Bentley.
And Bentley.
Yeah, that's my King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
Yeah, but how can you tell the dog's disappointed
that also has Ebola all the time?
Sorry,
Thank
Bob.
You.
Most of us enjoyed it.
Well, I'm sorry to Nina and also Jesse the Usher, but it's a pleasure to be on with you boys.
Thanks for doing this, Bob. That was great.
Thanks, guys.
Bob Stern, yeah, Bob. 3-7 here on The Ticket with Corby on the Hard Line. That's Bands of Your Life for another week.